Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of the Easy Conversations podcast, a podcast about having easy conversations, where every week we dive into the topics of mental health, adversity, spirituality, and societal issues. I'm your host, Furkan. And in this week's episode, I sit down with Isabel Miller, a content creator with a substantial following. Isabel opens up about her journey in the digital realm, shedding light on the intricacies of platforms like OnlyFans and the toll they can take on mental health. Isabel authentically shares her experiences, delving into the highs and lows of her career, from the initial thrill of gaining recognition to the harsh realities of facing criticism. She offers invaluable insights into the world of online content creation. While I'm not someone who supports these platforms, I was also trying to keep an open mind when I had a conversation with Isabel, and I really learned a lot from her and was able to get a different perspective on her journey. And I encourage everyone else to have the same approach when looking at this episode. We explore the unique challenges that arise from being on platforms like OnlyFans, where boundaries blur and judgment often runs rapid. So I wanted to bring that to the forefront as well. Isabel Miller is an ambitious model, content creator, and influencer based in Los Angeles. She has quickly gained a following for her sensual and daring content, captivating audiences with her alluring presence. Please check out all the ways you can find Isabel online. And I really hope you get a lot out of this episode. And if you can leave a 5-star review or a comment in the comment section at the end of the episode, I would truly appreciate it. And a brief word for our sponsors. One thing that's really helped my mental health is a daily routine. Every morning after doing some breathing exercises and cold exposure, I like a smooth cup of coffee. I've been drinking Four Sigmatics coffee for the last 3 years, and it's been very beneficial for my routine. I especially like their Lion's Mane and Chaga Mushrooms coffee, which helps me with my mental focus and energy every morning. Four Sigmatics is on a mission to infuse functional mushrooms into the foods and supplements people love and use daily. Their goal is to enrich minds and improve well-being. By pairing Lion's Mane with coffee for focus or reishi with cacao for a sense of calm, their brews, blends, and powders get everyone in a good headspace so they can focus on what matters most. Check out Four Sigmatic and use the code EASYCONVERSATIONS, all one word, at checkout for 10% off your order. Today's episode is also sponsored by BetterHelp. Therapy can be very difficult for many people to start. In my personal experience, when I was going through my divorce, therapy allowed me to bridge a significant gap. With the help and support of my therapist, I was able to uncover a lot of repeated patterns and behaviors that were impacting my life. Through goal setting, I was able to focus on things that required attention, which allowed me to improve the relationship that I had with myself and, by extension, the relationship that I had with others. As a therapist, I've been able to see the positive benefits that clients are able to derive through healthy rapport and goal setting. BetterHelp allows a lot of flexibility where clients can schedule video sessions, sessions on the phone, or through messaging. In most cases, BetterHelp will match you up with a licensed therapist within 48 hours. If that's not a good fit for you, BetterHelp will work with you to find the right fit. Join over 4 million users today by following the link in the description or going to BetterHelp, that's H-E-L-P, BetterHelp.com/EZ10 to get 10% off your first month of therapy. All right, Isabel, welcome to the Easy Conversations podcast. Thank you for joining me this evening. I'm really grateful for you for reaching out to me and wanting to do this. So I'm super excited for our conversation today. But before we get started, I do want to give you an opportunity to introduce yourself to the listeners and let us know a little bit about your journey and who you are.
My name is Isabel Miller, and I'm really glad to be here today. I am a full-time content creator, mostly on Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, and OnlyFans as well. And I've been doing it full-time now for 3 years. And a lot of my followers are mostly males, as most web content creators are. So throughout my journey, I encountered a lot of pluses and some downs as well. And I'm really happy to share today my journey that I've had along the way, including the mental health aspect of it all.
Awesome. Yeah. Thank you for sharing all that. And what made you want to become a content creator, right? Like, I think it's a bit of a new phenomenon when you think about it in terms of for people to be able to use social media as a platform to be able to generate revenue and build a pretty significant following. So yeah, what made you want to pursue this path?
Honestly, I've gotten into it by accident. I started out with modeling, and with that, I started posting my photos online. And by doing that, I started gaining a following. So with that following came the idea of starting an OnlyFans account, because that's a good way to monetize my presence online. And from there, once the pandemic hit and it really blew up, OnlyFans, and I think content creation in general as well, then the opportunity came to really go all in and do it full time. So at first, I never was really right out of the gate of, oh, I'm going to be this full-time YouTuber or content creator or whatever. I was like, you know what? I'm modeling this and that. So that's super exciting for me to do. So let's see where it can go overall.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And it's a tough place to be, right? And I do want to come back to the OnlyFans side, but just in general in social media, for yourself to be able to put yourself out there in that sense, you open yourself up to a lot, right? There's the pluses, but then there's the downs too. And with the downs, I'm assuming there is that mental health aspect, but just trying to understand, I find myself to be a very sensitive person. I just can't imagine being critiqued or putting myself out there in that sense where I could be critiqued to such a significant level. How do you balance that, and how are you able to kind of push out that noise that comes with putting yourself out there on social media?
I think one of the blessings I've had from the beginning was to start on Twitter. And Twitter is honestly one of the roughest places when it comes to comments and interactions, because it's an open market. Anybody can go on there and say anything, and it's a lot less moderated than the other platforms. So it was easy for me from the get-go to really understand that what some troll is saying online about me does not really define who I am as a person. So from that early on, I was really able to see that demarcation line between what somebody says about me and who I am. And from there, it was easier for me to block, delete, or like I used to do sometimes, make fun of them with my followers and really let go of it all.
Yeah, yeah. So you would turn it around and make them the target, right, in terms of them coming at you. But then there's also like this whole, to your point, anyone can go on there and be anonymous. Right. So that's tough, because they're not really being held accountable, and they're pushing away that responsibility that often comes in the real world, if you were to say something. But there's also this aspect of like people tend to have insecurities. Right. And I'm wondering for you, if that is the case, if there are any insecurities, have you ever been in a situation where perhaps someone was able to grab onto an insecurity and really hit home for you? And how did that feel? And how were you able to work through that experience?
So over the years, I've gotten curvier over time, which was a good thing for many. But some others were really deliberate in letting me know that, hey, I liked you before. Why did you get bigger? This is not good. You look so much better before. And that can be hurtful, I have to admit, especially when it started in the beginning. And I was definitely not having it. Even on OnlyFans, when I had somebody say that, I had to be very clear that this is not okay. And I'm going to have to let go of you as a fan. And I decided to either mute or block because it's really unhealthy for me to be surrounded by people who think negatively of me physically. But I think overall, sometimes people, I think, are conditioned to see women, to see people in a certain way, and project their own fears onto you. So one thing that I've noticed, people that are like nitpicky about weight, about body size, and things like that, tend to be people that don't really feel that secure in themselves in the first place. Or else, why is that you're going to go out of the way of your way to comment on somebody else's body? So that's definitely a perspective that I've gained over time, that what is not really healthy for me to surround myself anyone who makes me feel doubtful about my own looks. And it's a lot of boundaries to put in place as well, because sometimes those people can be acquaintances, can be colleagues, it can be so-called friends or even photographers. So I'm very deliberate about giving a warning if somebody says, mentions anybody size related, to be like, you know what, this is not the subject that I approve of or want to talk about. I love myself the way I am. If I decide to get fitter over time, that's fantastic. But that is fundamentally my choice, not a random person to the outside of me to really say, oh, you need to do this, you need to do that. Okay, so please let me know when your next GQ magazine cover is. That way I'll follow all your advice, please. Because then again, there are people that are not in the place to tell it to you in the first place. So it's who are you to tell me what I should look like? That's for me to decide first and foremost. And if I get to love myself the way I am right now, I think that's a really good foundation for my life in general and the future. Because it's easy to go on the next diet, hire the trainer to lose 30 pounds in 3 months, and et cetera. But how do I want to feel in the next 20, 30, even 50 years if I get to live that long? I really hope so. And that's what I'm really looking for. How do I really build a foundation of health, not only physically, but mentally over time? Because I've been through diet cycles of try this diet, try that diet, go vegan, go paleo, or all that stuff. I've tried it all, and I'm glad I did because it's a wealth of information that you gain for yourself. But I think building, like I said, building that healthy foundation with self first, and then incorporating those habits that benefit one over time is much healthier overall than succumbing to peer pressure and outside concerns. Because if I go through that route again, then that's the same route I'm going to keep taking over and over again. And I'm going to be in the same toxic mental cycle that those people are in. Almost like a cult. It's like, hey, I see you over there. Join my cult of feeling that crap about myself. So it's a lot of discernment to make.
And what I'm picking up here, and you did highlight it, was setting strict boundaries, because if you're protecting your mental health while you're doing this work, it's important to set those boundaries and be very firm to not only protect yourself, but also show other people that, hey, I have a zero tolerance for this, right? So if you want to
Exactly.
be a part of my community, these are certain things that you need to respect. And then the other piece that I appreciate from you, because this is something I often try to remind myself, is where is the in criticism coming from, right? Are they doing the work? Are they putting themselves out there? Are they experts? Where is it coming from? Because typically people that have done the work or are vulnerable, they will come at you respectfully. They won't try to take you down or bring you down with them. So it's always important to see where is this critique or feedback coming from, because not everyone's feedback is important, nor should you listen to it. So it's those two things are things I picked out from what you were saying, because they're so important.
That is very true. And even I want to add, when people come so forth respectfully, I think it's a matter of intention as well, because I think fundamental respect as well is respecting the other person's autonomy and not be like, oh, I've noticed that you're getting a lot of cellulite and I'm concerned about you. And it's, you know what? Why are you highlighting that in the first place? And I've also noticed that this kind of people are not really asking you, hey, how have you been lately? What's going on in your life from a mental health perspective? Are you doing okay? Are you overwhelmed? Because a lot of times when we fall off our physical balances, our mental health balances overall, it's also a matter of stress, generally overwhelmed, etc.
Yeah.
It's almost never that they come from that angle. It's always a physical, superficial one of, ooh, you look this way. And when somebody comes from a place of judgment, why should I respond? I don't feel any impetus or responsibility to respond in the first place. So I just cut it out.
Yeah, and that's crucial. And yeah, and I would argue even sometimes when people ask, hey, are you okay? That could also be like they're trying to fish for information, right? So
exactly. That's where intention becomes so important.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. And another thing I'm noticing, you come off as a very confident person, which is so important in the field of work you're in. But has this always been the case for you? Because I know you mentioned in the past you were also doing modeling, which again requires a sense of confidence, or it could be crushing at times. So help us understand, how were you able to build this sense of confidence and how it served you?
It's definitely grown over time. It wasn't necessarily a 360 transformation at once, even though sometimes we wish it was the case.
Yeah.
It was over time, because the more we experience in life, the more we see the same problems over and over again, and we start seeing a pattern. And we realize, hey, what will make me happy in this condition? Is this worth it? Or even, do I deserve these conditions? And once I started seeing clearly on what was benefiting me mentally and what was not, I was much, much more determined in accepting myself and really letting go of this outside perspective and expectations, and rely a lot less on quote-unquote approval and validation, because a lot of it personally came from a place of fear. And once I really set that intention of letting go of my fears, the more confident I became as well.
Yeah, and that's what we, when I'm working with people in the therapy world, that's exactly the things I'm focusing on is, okay, well, what's your fear? How do you plan on overcoming it? And a lot of people get stuck there because the fear is what's kept them where they are. And that place becomes very familiar,
exactly.
Right? Anytime we try to change, there's a lot of resistance. And sometimes people use that resistance as a sign of, oh, I'm not supposed to be doing this. But it's really being able to work past that resistance. And the reason why I bring that up is I'm wondering for you too, what was the resistance like, and how were you able to tell yourself that this is something I'm going to move through?
Well, resistance was tough, because with the fear and anxiety, especially from an immigrant background, it keeps you in a space of survival. And within that space of survival, the fear is almost like a teddy bear, because it's something that soothes you, that, yeah. Oh, I'm afraid, therefore this fear response is going to help me in some way do something better or get better grades or open a new business or et cetera. And I decided that, you know what, is that even true? Because the more I started noticing it over time, the more I saw it as a deterrent and not necessarily an anchor in a positive way. You think that, hey, this is helping me. If I don't have it, I don't know what's going to happen. My life is going to fall apart if I'm not worried about things. And the opposite actually happens. So I started to just take steps as to what happens when I do X, Y, or Z. And what happens overall when I start doing what I truly love in the first place, rather than rely on what I was thinking before and what kept me in the same place of survival. Because I had to be honest with myself, do I want to be in a place of survival or do I want to be in a place of success and thriving? And the choice in my head was obvious. So I choose a thriving space. And in this case, it's very important to me to really let go of those fears and move forward in life, because the fears are what's keeping me unhappy. So if I don't want to be unhappy, I know what to do.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. And I think you touched it there is, again, that the fear really can cripple us. And we don't grow if we're going to stay comfortable. And often we have to go, step into that place of fear. But then we also realize that the fear isn't as bad as we actually thought it was going to be. And we don't know until we try it out. And I do want to come back to, we were talking about boundaries earlier. And again, being out there, how are you setting boundaries when you're out in public and people recognize you, or even like acquaintances may want to talk to you about your work? Are there boundaries you have to set when you're out in public and just trying to have a good time and just be normal, right? What kind of boundaries do you need to set, and how often do those situations arise?
The good news is all the fans that I've met in person were super respectful, very kind, and I didn't really have any issues to be like, hey, not today, or anything like that. So I'm pretty open arm when it comes to receiving compliments from people in public, people recognizing me. As long as there's a sense of mutual respect, that's what really matters. And when it comes to people approaching me on certain subjects about my work and etc., once again, it comes from a place of mutual respect. For example, if on Twitter or on Instagram, I find comments that are way too raunchy, I can always hide those. I like to also maintain a respectful platform overall.
Right. And going into that OnlyFans space now, because there's a stigma around it, right? And
yes,
it can be perceived as perhaps a lot worse than a lot of people use it for. And there is that whole notion on, okay, you're making money from this, you're providing certain services. How is that okay? How have you been able to balance that? And I do want to dive into that a little bit more, but just want to understand your journey of doing what you're doing on OnlyFans.
Ooh, that is a loaded subject and I love it. One thing that's really impactful is it is a stigma, it's a public perception, because it's seen as something quote-unquote dirty and wrong, or, oh, you're just selling pictures of yourself online, or you're lazy and you don't deserve what you have because of what you do. And also people try sometimes mix it up and think that what you do is who you are, and they don't know how to make that distinction. So that's when self-awareness comes in first and foremost, because how I come off on OnlyFans or on Instagram, on Twitter, is different to how I come forward in real life, because there's a difference between me as a person and me as Isabel Miller. So a lot of times people will not make the effort. They will just see you as you are. And that's a thing about being a public figure and having visibility. People will see your thing and think that you're that one thing. And that's something that I've accepted, and it is what it is. That's fine. Mm-hmm. And as funny as it is, thankfully, I'm laughing all the way towards the banks, no matter what people say or how they want to demonize the platforms, they want to demonize the creators. I think also it might be something personal about them, because what do you care? It's like somebody going on their podcast and complain about strippers and the strip club next to their, I don't know, supermarket. And it's such a bizarre thing to do, because if you don't participate in certain activities, certain forms of entertainment, then move forward.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not like I go around and complain about gamblers gambling and the gambling industry. People know their limits. Some people see negatives in it, some people see the positives. Everything is different for everyone. I've
Right.
known professional poker players who really improve their life through the game. But on the other hand, some people went through tough times because of maybe their gambling addictions or losing money at the casino. I don't know. So a lot of times people don't always have the perspective. It's easier for them to demonize and stigmatize because they don't fully understand the complexity behind what is going on. They want to make it as easy and palatable as possible to their audience because they have an opinion on that subject. It's often always put into these two boxes. Either it's glamorized, number one, or two, is completely demonized. And people always forget what's actually in the middle of this is a professions, and all professions are going to have their ups and downs. Some can be more cutthroat and tougher than others if you don't have the skin for it. And that's where also I'm all for people who do not want to do OnlyFans for the rest of their lives, who see it as something temporary. People who don't want to get into it because it's too risky for their family lives, their careers, their future. And that's okay to also accept these facts that this is not a fully risk-free profession. There's a risk in everything we do in life. And it's better to just recognize it and respect it from across the board.
There's so much to unpack in there, and I really appreciate your answer in terms of, first of all, huge distinction there that there is a persona there, right? And the persona that's on the social media platforms or OnlyFans is not who you are. And people need to be able to understand that. And we lose sight of that, right? We look at that public image and then we assume that's who the person is because we've assigned certain judgments to that image, right?
Exactly.
And what I've come to learn in life, and I try to remind myself all the time, I forget quite often myself, but we tend to judge in others what we don't like about ourselves, right?
Very true.
And a lot of people also do judge others because of their, and we touched on it briefly, but their courage, their ability to do something that's risky or brave for that matter. And it's because we don't know if we can do it, it's easier for us to judge others and try to bring them down with us, right? And that's something we touched on even with these comments that you may get online. So it's important. And then to your last point that really stood out to me is, it's everyone has a choice, right? If you don't agree with it, don't participate, right? Like it's something for me, for example, I don't think I'll ever use that platform, but doesn't mean that others can't, right? And doesn't
Exactly.
mean I get to judge others because I have my own skeletons in the closet, right? So I
Exactly.
need to remind myself of that too. And I think people often, we tend to forget, right? But there was one thing you also touched on that a lot of people may not choose this path because of what it can mean in the future, what it can mean with family. Has that, any of that for you come up, and how have you been able to reconcile all of that?
I think it came up at first because it was like, oh, what happens if people see me online and recognize me and see my videos and things like that? And I think one of the most powerful things I've ever done in my life is to just let go of those fears and just dive right in. Because if I see myself at 45 years old or 50 years old and somebody comes up to me, prints out my photos from my website and all that, it's something that I can own. It's something that I put out there. And it's not something that they can rightfully attack me with. Because that's something that I own. That's something that I've done. That's not something I am ashamed of. So maybe sometimes I'm like, oh, I wish this photo was better. I wish this photo was more flattering. I wish this video was more flattering. But to this day, when I look at my older work, I'm like, this is beautiful. And I don't want to let those voices and once again somebody else's fears and shame get to me because that wouldn't be fair to me. So I think that's very important as well, to really not let others' perception being a weapon against oneself. And I think that's something that is really going to help me in the future.
Absolutely. And then the other thing you mentioned, that often people will say you're lazy, for example. That could be tough to hear, right? Because first of all, again, I don't think people need to justify how they do work. Sometimes you could be very smart and it may take you even an hour to do your job, right?
Yes.
It doesn't make you lazy, but, and then art too, art is art. And I think everyone has their own form of creative expression, but when you hear something like that, what goes on in your mind?
First thing that goes on in my mind is, oh, if only you knew what went on behind the scenes. Because some of the most hardworking people I know do OnlyFans full time. It's literally their life. They have families, they have people helping them, they have teams. It's a real job. It's a real profession. And also, I want to highlight that not everything in life is about hard work. So that mention of laziness in the first place, it's just pure bitterness. Mm-hmm. And people need to call it what it is. It is being a hater and being bitter. Because why do you care how else someone else work, how hard they work, how they should be doing X, Y, Z? It's kind of like people saying, oh, the Kardashians are lazy because they just show up on TV and they're famous for being famous. Athletes are lazy because they just kick into us a ball for etc. Models are lazy because they're just out there taking pictures. And we all know that none of this is true. So a lot of times, those comments are just straight up spiteful and ignorant at the same time. But people love to indulge in it because it makes them feel better about themselves.
Mm-hmm.
It's easier to look in the mirror and say, yeah, I'm at this job that I despise because I'm hardworking and I have those virtues and like those lazy OnlyFans girls. So a lot of it is also virtue signaling and comparison about I'm better than this person because I'm not this. Same thing that they do with wealthy people. I'm a better person because I'm not like that rich bastard over there.
Right.
So it's a lot of like classic sociological problems that we've had for millennia.
Yeah. No, I agree with you. And that's well said. And we obviously have touched on different aspects of mental health. I do want to bring it together because that's obviously something you're passionate about and want to talk about. So how does, you know, like your mental health fit into all of this? How have you made it a priority? And how do you keep focus on it throughout all of this?
So the sad part is at first it wasn't a priority. And I used to really overextend myself and really get into these moments where I was extremely overwhelmed and felt really neglected within because I'm giving all this time to the platform, to my photo shoots, to social events. You felt necessarily really connecting with myself at the same time. And I just, when I saw this, I'm like, you know what? Something needs to change here. So I made sure that I slowly started to really hone in into what is it about this profession that I want to keep doing? What is it that I want to move away from? What is it that I truly genuinely love? And how overall is my life trajectory currently and in the future? So I'm really having a more holistic view on life in general and not always being about perfection and productivity and working hard and being the best and all that, because growing up as a quote-unquote overachiever and etc., it's easy to really, once again, just like fear, still attach this notion of survival, of I have to be great at this, I have to be perfect at that, everything has to be good, everything has to be perfect. Oh no, I can't fail, I don't want to fail, this is terrifying. And then it started to be very obvious that this perception of life was not benefiting me, it was hurting me, and it just became mindless after a certain point, because we cannot be great at everything in life. And when it became really obvious that, hey, maybe this is not my head on and be all in life. I have other passions, I have other things that I love. And why not invest more time into not just myself, but into what I love the most as well? Then I think my mental health started becoming a lot better than just being like, oh, I have to do X, I have to do Y, I have to do Z, and really overextend myself to a point where I don't really, number one, recognize myself, but also I'm not really living the life that I love. So right. I think it's a lot of discernment to make.
Yeah, absolutely. And what I'm hearing there is you have certain agreements with yourself in terms of what you're going to accept in terms of even for yourself, right? In terms of how much work you're going to put in and where you draw the line. Are there like any specific practices that you use that help you remain mindful? Because what I'm hearing from you is really there's an aspect of mindfulness, being aware of how much am I putting my body through? How many hours am I working? Is this acceptable or does it always have to be perfect? So yeah, how do you maintain that sense of mindfulness? Because sometimes I find for myself, even though I have certain limits, it's easy for me to fall into that trap because I'm always like, it's always a fine line between being that overachiever. And then I find myself hours in and I'm like, oh shoot, now I need to pull myself out. But there are certain practices that keep me grounded that have really been helpful for me. So I'm curious if there's anything that you use.
I think transcendental meditation, aka TM, really helped gaining that clarity. I remember 5 years ago, I wanted to try it, but I was a bit skeptical because there's a fee you need to pay for it.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, I don't know if I should do it. So I asked a few acquaintances of mine if it was worth it for them. And they said yes. And like, they gave me a mantra, etc. And I decided, you know what? I'll keep that in mind. So this year, I've decided earlier during the year to just go for it. And it was a lot better than I expected because usually meditation practices always felt mechanical for me. But I think it was the first meditation practice that felt really effortless. And from there, I think it really helped me clear out the noise in my life in a lot of ways. But still, I don't make it a mechanical practice. I do it when I want to do it, when I need to do it, personally. Mm-hmm. And that's about it. I think meditation is a tool, not something that necessarily needs to be done mechanically because that's the right thing to do.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's very crucial for people to consider as well. But yeah, because I'll find myself often, I do a breathing exercise in the morning and some days I feel like I'm forcing myself through it and it loses its purpose because it's like you said, it feels mechanical. It's like I'm doing it because I need to check this box. I'm not doing it and getting much out of it. I think that's a good reminder for me too, is to be aware of these practices we have that we can use. It's like a tool in the toolbox, exactly. Perhaps taking it out only when you really need it and not trying to use it on all the time. But is there a specific cue for you because you've got this great tool in the transcendental meditation, but is there like a cue where you're like, okay, maybe today I need to go and do this meditation. Things are getting out of control. Yeah. Like how do you know when to go to that tool?
It's generally when I feel a lot of tension and fears, and I don't know if ruminating is the right word, but when I keep rethinking scenarios over and over in my head and I start panicking a bit, not necessarily externally, but partially internally, of I don't know if this is going to work. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. When that voice comes into my head, that's when I decide, you know what? I'm going to just take time off. And I'm actually not afraid to do that because actually yesterday I had a few chores that I decided not to do because I noticed that my energy levels were getting low. So part of me was a bit disappointed in myself because I wanted to be organized and do the right thing, organize my clothes and cook dinner, but internally, I didn't have that force in me. So self-compassion was super, super important in that at that point. And I'm kind of more categoric about it because once I say no, it's a no. If I say, you know what, I'm not going to do these tasks tonight, I'm just going to take the night off, I take the night off. And I think honestly, that's something that helped me a lot. When I feel this mental and emotional level going down like this, I catch it right away and say, you know what, let's call it a night, let's call it a day. If I need to take a nap, I'll take a nap, I'll go to sleep and then come back much more refreshed afterwards. So I think those practices really help.
Yeah, no, and that's amazing. I think for a lot of people, myself included, at times we get caught in that scarcity mindset where we just want more and we lose sight of the fact that we're not putting in more, nor are we getting back more. We're just taking out from an empty bucket. So it does the opposite. And the biggest word that you said or thing that you pointed out is self-compassion. In those moments, we need to really be our biggest ally because nobody else will come do it for us. And yeah, I think in those moments, we're probably our biggest critics, and that's where we need that self-compassion. I know we've covered a lot of ground, but I do want to have a general question in terms of for people that, like yourself, are content creators or are in this space and might be struggling or would like to understand a bit more. Is there anything you feel like we didn't cover and that would be of value to the listener?
I think overall, I want to highlight that when it comes to content creating and doing it full time, one needs to remember to put oneself first. Because if you don't have yourself, then guess what? You're not going to have the content. If you put yourself through the wringer, it's going to be a lot tougher to take care of yourself, maintain the level of work you want to maintain over time. So it's very important to take care of yourself first versus putting yourself to tough time, being hard on yourself and pouring out of that empty cup, because it's always going to be a hefty price to pay afterwards. And it's just not worth it to go through trial and tribulations for the sake of the goal that we have.
Yeah, no, that's well said. And thank you for sharing that. And thank you for coming on here and being so vulnerable and sharing your journey. I really enjoyed hearing your perspective and some of the things you have to offer. I thought it was great. But I do want to give you an opportunity. If listeners do want to learn more from you or would like to get a hold of you, what are some ways they can do that?
A great way to follow me online would be to go on Instagram and type Isabel Miller X. On TikTok, it's Isabel Miller. And on YouTube, Isabel Miller.
Great. Any final words, Isabel?
I had a fantastic time here and it was a fantastic interview. And I really wish all listeners a wonderful and happy life listening to this podcast in the first place, I think. You're doing great. They're doing great. So I wish everyone the best.
Thank you. Thank you for checking out this episode with Isabel. As always, please leave a five-star review or a comment in the comment section. I always love hearing from you. If you haven't done so, please subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and or YouTube. And also check out the Easy Reflections newsletter, which is coming out weekly, and I cover many things around personal development, so feel free to subscribe to that. Otherwise, check out the sponsors in the descriptions, and until next week.